I really do hope you enjoyed yourselves yesterday, last night. I mean, it's a very special day. And it's, yes, it's on the 4th of July, but it's Independence Day. I hear too many people say, Happy 4th of July. Well, there's, you know, that's nothing. It's just a date. But Happy Independence Day. Be grateful. We may not have everything we want. The world may not be in the way it should be. America is struggling with certain things. And God has still blessed us. And we're still, I mean, we're all here. And we're able to do this freely. A lot of places on the earth today can't. So we should be grateful. Enough for that. You ever remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember it, I am. I've Got a Secret. It was a television show. I've Got a Secret. And they usually had, they had a panel of four judges, I will call them, and a narrator, and I can remember Bill Cullen was one of them. But they had a secret that somebody, they brought in four people, usually, 3 to 4 people, and the panel would get to ask them questions, but they would let them know, like, maybe this person invented horseshoes. I don't know. But who invented horseshoes? Well, they're going to find out which one of these people did that. So they got to ask any kind of question except for, did you invent the horseshoes? They didn't get to ask that straight out. But they got to ask all kinds of questions. And then in the end, the announcer would say, will the real horseshoe inventor please step forward? And sometimes the panel did really well. Other times they failed miserably. But it was a good show. I mean, it was fun to hear those things that people... But 3 of the 4 people up there would be traditionally lying. So how would you know who to believe? And you can question all day long, but how do you know who you can believe? I titled today, Will the Real Jesus Please Step Forward? Today, we're going to talk about a topic that actually, when I think about it, it puts chills down my spine. The fact that the disciples had just watched the crucifixion of Jesus. And they also had just understood and heard that Jesus was not in the tomb. But after all of the teaching and all of the predictions and everything else from Scripture, and even Jesus himself talking to the disciples, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And it brought up a question to me. Is it hard to understand spiritual things? You bet it is. We're not godly spiritual creatures for the most part. Jesus was. He was God himself. And I try to put myself into the position of the disciples. Now, one disciple wasn't in this room that we're going to read about, but he showed up later. John 20, 19 through 31. We're going to just start with 19, of course, and say, on the evening of the first day of the week, takes place the same day that the tomb of Jesus was found empty the very same day, the first day of the week, Sunday. And the four Gospels tell of five different appearances on Resurrection Day, Sunday, the first day of the week. The Christian church has held this day as the official day of worshiping together as believers since that happened. What day is today? Sunday. Isn't this what we traditionally get together? One day set aside, 1/7 of the week, to get together and worship God together as a group. Now, does that mean we don't worship God the rest of the week? No. We just may be only worshiping by ourselves or with our mate or with our friends or family. But as a group of people coming together, just like the disciples, we gather together to worship God. The four people that the Gospels talk about are Mary Magdalene. And you know where that, you know, we don't see people in the scripture like Terry Jo Parker. Mary would have been, in that sense, if I say this term, Terry Jo Muskegonite. Okay? That's what this is. Mary Magdalene was from Magdala, okay? So that's what she was known as, Mary Magdalene. The other woman that's mentioned is the mother of James. That's another Mary, but it's not Mary from where she was at. It was Mary, mother of James, okay? And that's how people... People understood who they were when you use those terms. The two on the road to Emmaus, two of the disciples, question mark, does anybody know who they were? Can anybody tell me who those two disciples were on the road to Emmaus? No. Go ahead.
Clopas was one of them.
Yeah. But we don't know, for positive fact, who both of these people were, except for they were disciples. And then to Peter. Peter's one of my favorite writers. I love Peter. Peter has a special way about him, and he doesn't pull punches. He tells it like it is. And when I was going through this was years ago, the exercise of memorizing the book of 2 Peter, I was just dumbfounded sometimes at the thought process, the writings. One of my favorite verses there, they're all pretty favorite, but at the end he says, no prophecy of Scripture ever came about by the prophet's own interpretation. But Scripture prophecy came about by the leading of the Spirit. They weren't even under their own power when the Scriptures were written. These writers wrote under the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wrote the Scripture. John 20:19, again, still, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Why would they fear the Jewish leaders? Anybody? Why would they fear the Jewish leaders?
Afraid of death.
They're afraid of death. They're afraid, just like I wrote here, they're living in fear of the same fate that Jesus just went through. Fear of the Jewish leaders. Let's go back to when Jesus was being confronted by the Jewish leaders. They wanted to arrest him, didn't they? And the disciples were there. all but Judas. And what did Jesus do at that point? He stopped everything. He stopped the proceedings. He spoke with power. But he stopped the whole proceedings of him being arrested and said, before you do this, before I let you do this, let them go. Remember that? Let them go. And there was one reason that Jesus did that. Because he loved them so much? No. He did, but that wasn't the reason. Jesus was being arrested by himself because only Jesus, only God, through the person of Jesus Christ, could pay the penalty for our sins. And he said, there is nobody, Peter, you included, you will get thee behind me, Satan. Nobody was going to infringe on that penalty being paid other than Jesus. Because then somebody could have said, well, but Jesus paid. Oh, yeah, but so did Peter. No, he didn't. And Jesus made sure of that. That was the whole purpose behind that when he told them to let him go. But the disciples were living in fear of the Jewish leaders because of that death that Jesus just went through. John 16, I forgot to do this. I was going to ask a couple people to look up a couple things. I'll go to John 16. I got a couple others. Would somebody... Yeah, I'll be fine.
John and Matthew, read that one.
Yeah, do the Matthew. John 16:33 fits this so well. Do you now believe, Jesus replied? Do you now believe, Jesus replied? A time is coming, and in fact, has come, when you will be scattered, each of you, to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Do you see how he's saying, I am the only one that can do this? You will be scattered. You will be gone. And I'm going to face this alone. Well, no, I'm not going to face it alone, because I have my Father, God. Then back to 2019, continuing on. If we continue with 19, it says that Jesus came and stood among them. Well, that isn't so spectacular. So Jesus came and stood among them. And that's not what it says. It says they were living in fear and the doors were locked. They were all together except for, of course, Thomas. And, of course, the betrayer was no longer alive even. But all of a sudden they're in this room. The door's locked. They're fearful. And I'm going to stop there. Let's go back when Jesus appeared to Mary on the road. Did she recognize him? Why not? It was Jesus. She spent hours and hours, days, months, years with Jesus. How did she not know him? Have any guess? It's because he was now no longer in his earthly body. He was in his spiritual body. That told me something, that we're going to be changed. And when God talks about you will be changed, we won't recognize who we are, because we're different. We're completely different. We're sinless, totally sinless. And we'll be different. But who will people see when they look at us? They'll see Jesus. They'll see the Holy Spirit. They'll see Jesus in us and know that we're believers. So Jesus just doesn't say he walked through the door. Doesn't say he walked through the wall. It doesn't say he dropped from the ceiling or went up through the floor. It says he appeared. But I don't believe that he appeared to them for them to be able to see him right away. I believe he was in his spiritual body, standing there, listening, observing, and then, here I am, guys. Can you imagine? And then not recognizing him. Is this a Roman coming after us? How did it begin? You're already living in fear. Fear does terrible things to you. That's why Jesus said it so many times. Never fear. I am with you. I have overcome the world. So can put yourself in their place and just say, oh, what is this? And when that happened, and I wrote in here on 2019, Jesus came and stood. The word describes an unseen arrival among them which preceded his becoming visible. A little bit frightening. Jesus was now in his resurrected form. He knew they wouldn't readily recognize him. So Jesus, doing what he does best, he comforted them. And what did he say? What's the word that he said? He said, peace be with you. That's a common Jewish shalom, peace. So they were aware of it, but their fears had overcome them. And Jesus tried to set those fears aside by saying, peace be with you. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The reaction? Peace, joy, joy, joy. This is the one that was in the grave. We watched him be butchered on the cross, put in the tomb, and here he is. They missed what he told them before he died. This is what's going to happen, he said. Now, he's told us several things through Scripture of things that are about to happen. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next month. Who knows? Only God knows. But he's told us several things about what's going to happen in the future. And we need to understand that they're going to happen. And I'll refer back to another. This one's 2 Peter. No, it's not. This is another one. What I have said, that I will do. What I have planned, that I will bring about, God says. Can you count on what God says? You want to come along for the ride, or do you want to sit along the side and miss out? God says, I'm in control. He proved it right here when Jesus showed up with the disciples and said, peace, peace. What a calming thought. That's pure love. Here's a lesson. We may not always recognize the presence of Jesus in our everyday activities, but if we look for the signs, he will readily expose his presence to us, which will in turn help those around us witness his presence. Our testimony, Matthew 5:16. Did you have?
Yes. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works
and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Isn't that what it's all about? Once you've accepted Christ, why does he leave us here? To endure this miserable world. He just read why. So that our good works will shine who God in Jesus is. So that the world will recognize God. 21, 22, and 23 in our passage here. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came the first time. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." So they obviously left the room because Thomas wasn't there. So they talked to Thomas. Now, Thomas had set himself apart, and nobody can really know why. And I don't think it was for fear. I think it was because of disappointment and anger. He says, here we are, we're supposed to have Jesus as our Lord and King. And look what happened. He's gone. And I'm upset. So he has this little pity party. And he doesn't get with the disciples. But then he lives right there. So when the disciples left that room that Sunday, they found him. They couldn't wait to tell him. Because they knew what kind of things were going on in his mind. He said, "We've seen Jesus." He's really upset. Because what is his comment? He's really upset. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side." He doesn't say, "Maybe I might believe. Unless I do that, I will not believe." Wow, that's a statement. I don't believe at that point, and I think I wrote it in here, that he was a believer. You know, people talk about you can't lose your salvation, but I don't think he was a believer at that point because Jesus had left. He was killed, murdered. And he, along with the rest of the disciples, missed the whole purpose of what Jesus tried to teach them about the death and resurrection. And all Thomas did was pout and get angry. I'm not going to believe. I will not believe. A week later, which was the next Sunday, his disciples were in the house again, and this time Thomas was with them. I'm going to go ahead and read 24 and 25. Not 24 and 25. I'm going to go ahead and read 26 and 7. He was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them, and I'm going to say again, and said, "Again, peace be with you." But then, "Hey, Thomas." Was Thomas in the room the first time? Was Jesus with the disciples when they confronted Thomas and told him that they'd seen the Lord? Jesus wasn't with them. How did he know what Thomas said? God knows everything. Don't ever think he doesn't, because he does. He knows our thoughts even. "Peace be with you." But he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Did Thomas put his fingers in the hand of Jesus? Did Thomas put his fist in the side where the wound was? He couldn't. Jesus wouldn't have let him because he wasn't returned back yet. He wasn't returned to the Father yet. But he didn't need to. At that point, Thomas said to him, and I don't believe it was, "Oh my Lord and my God." I know. "My Lord and my God! Wow! It's you! You've risen! You're alive! Wow!" I can't imagine how the other disciples felt and were what with what they were seeing. And Jesus said to Thomas, who was right there with him, right in front of him, he said, "You know, Thomas, now you have seen. You have seen. Here's the holes. Here's the gash. You have seen, and now you believe." And I can imagine Thomas thinking, "You bet. How can you not believe? How can I not believe?" "But because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And who's that? Who's he talking about? Everyone. That wasn't in that room at the time. Everyone. I have a little argument that I use when I talk to people about these very things. They say, "I don't believe it. It's just humans wrote that book." Okay. Then I'll quote the scripture I just quoted about the Holy Spirit. We were carried along by the Spirit as we wrote the scriptures. And I'll say, "But I know you have a hard time believing that because you haven't seen and haven't had it proven to you, even though history teaches that it's true." Other than the Bible, several historic documents that were written at the time by people who didn't care whether Jesus lived or died recorded that history as true. But I say, okay, have you ever met Abraham Lincoln? Well, of course not. He was alive in the 1880s. How do you know? How did you know that he was alive back then? Well, because it's historic. Is it? Well, it's in the books. There's history written about it. It's in the annals of our American history. It's right. And so is the Bible. So you're here to tell me that unless I shake Abraham Lincoln's hand, I'm not going to believe. I would classify you as a fool if that's what you told me. And if you're standing here telling me that you don't believe that God exists and that Jesus did what he did at the cross and raised from the tomb, after countless numbers of historic figures wrote about the very happening, if you don't believe that, just like you don't believe that Abraham Lincoln exists, if that's what you could say, I would call you a fool. In fact, God calls you a fool. We have a testimony. and it needs to shine. John 20:21 is pretty clear when he says, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Pretty clear. It's a vivid description of what he is expecting of the disciples, isn't it? How did God the Father send Jesus? How did he do it? He sent his Son and left the comforts of heaven behind to accomplish what only God could do. That's give mankind the opportunity to be forgiven and repair our relationship with God, our Creator. This is, and I capitalized it, this is all about sin. But, and forgiveness. You see, God can't look on us. He can't have a relationship with us because we're sinners. It's just a fact. He's perfect. He can't have anything to do with us. Nothing. You think you can? No. He's perfect. He doesn't even know sin. Why do you think Jesus on the cross said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" "Jesus, you were covered with my sin. That's why God, your Father, forsook you." God can't look on sin. So do you think you can go to God anytime you please and you don't know Jesus and God says, "All right, come on, I want to hear what you have to say"? No, not going to happen. Jesus is our advocate. The scripture's clear. It's the only way to talk to God is through Jesus. Jesus left the comforts of heaven. That's amazing just in itself. We have the opportunity every day to live out God's promise in us. 24 and 25. Now, Thomas was one of the disciples, was not with the disciples, okay? Are we always with this group of people? No. We're out there in the world. Does everybody we associate with believe in Jesus? Follow God? Are they even looking for him? Not going to happen. So Jesus made it clear to the disciples, this is your duty. This is your duty. As we go on, 26 through 29, we look at that whole section. And it's one of the shortest pieces of instruction Jesus ever gave to the disciples. This is not a long dissertation. They already know. They already know. You've seen and you believe. Now you've understood what I was talking about. Get yourself some guts. You're the only one that's going to tell people that I have risen from the dead to save sinners from their sin and their penalty. I wrote down here, Jesus actually called out Thomas's unbelief and set him straight. No need now for any chastisement. He didn't chastise Peter. He sure well could have. But he didn't chastise Peter. He only showed him love. Thomas responded appropriately, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus makes a statement to all future believers and doubters. "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." The purpose of the book of John, and we've been studying it for quite some time now, 30 and 31 is pretty clear. It talks about Jesus performed other signs and miracles in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded. But these that we have studied are written, why? That you may believe. Do you still want to put your finger in the hole in Jesus' hands? Do you still want to put your hand in the hole in his side? Or do you really believe? It's the whole book of John in a nutshell. That we may believe and have life, but only through fully trusting Jesus. I had several verses that I wanted to turn to right now, but they just go on and on about what our responsibility is as a believer. And the bold, be bold and courageous, remember in Joshua? Be bold and courageous. Never fear. In this world, you're going to have trouble. People are even going to want to kill you. But never fear, because I, Jesus, have overcome the world and evil. Let those that love the Lord hate evil, for he will guard the lives of his faithful ones, and he will deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Is that when we get to heaven? No, it's now. Why would he write that for when we get to heaven? There isn't going to be any wicked. So he means it for now. Do we believe? How's your heart? Do we really believe? Father, you have blessed us so much with your word. It's not just historic fact. It's words that came from God the Father, written through the person of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And if we can't believe that, then we're doomed. But because we have your scriptures, we have other believers who have witnessed to us, and we even see in our own lives what you do, it makes our faith stronger and stronger and stronger. But because of that, help us to go out, love people, help them through their times of trouble, help them through their times of need, depression, whatever it might be, but help them to know that the love of God, the love of Jesus, is open and available to them. Help us to lead them to it. And then you do your work and pull them in. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.